We begin in the schools. Students in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools will be heading back to the classroom in April. School board made that decision unanimously last night. They moved the vote up 2 weeks. It was going to be in mid-February, but they did it last night after Governor Cooper this week began urging school districts to get students back in the classroom. The first day of in-person class will be April 19th. Staff will return the week before to start getting ready. This will not be a full return to class, though. The district will move to Plan B, the hybrid model, with some students attending in person on Mondays and Tuesdays. Others will attend on Thursdays and Fridays. Wednesday will be a cleaning day, no in-person learning that day. And students will also have the option of staying entirely online. This will all get worked out with families over the next few weeks. Families will start getting notifications in late February about their assignments, and that'll be figured out from there. Board members also authorized Superintendent Dr. Nia Hamlet to spend $1.3 million on safety equipment to keep everything as safe as possible through this. That includes PPE and also air filters for campus buildings. Get much more on the board's decision, including some comments from board members in the meeting, by visiting our website, chapelborough.com. That decision comes as COVID-19 metrics are continuing to trend in the right direction in North Carolina. That includes hospitalizations, now just over 2,600, still high, but the peak a month ago was closer to 4,000. State health officials also updated the county alert map this week, and that now shows fewer counties in the red zone for critical levels of community spread. Still 61 counties in the red zone, though, and 33 in the orange zone. And that includes our area, all the triangle counties, Orange, Durham, Chatham, and Wake are in that orange zone. Yesterday was another deadly day, though, with 150 new COVID deaths reported in the state. But more and more North Carolinians are also being vaccinated, and beginning next Friday, the 12th, you'll also be able to get the vaccine at Walgreens. Walgreens is getting more than 31,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine, in this case, to distribute in North Carolina across 300 store locations by appointment only. If you want to make an appointment, you can get a link to do that on our website, chapelborough.com. Over to campus, where UNC officials yesterday reported another cluster of COVID cases, this one at Connor Residence Hall. That's the fourth cluster on campus since the dorms reopened for students last month. And a reminder that a cluster consists of five or more cases in the same place. As of right now, there are exactly five cases at Connor. In all, 275 students have tested positive since testing began on campus on January 13th. UNC officials also say they have received 179 reports of potential COVID rules violations in the last 3 months, November, December, January. That is way down, though, from the previous three-month period, August through October, when UNC received 456 reports. Of those 179, by the way, 88 resulted in some disciplinary action, and 9 resulted in students being removed from campus housing. Numerous local organizations have stepped up their efforts to address the many needs in our community stemming from the pandemic, including Chapel Hill Carborough's Food for Students program, which has been providing local students with those daily meals that they're missing by not being in school. 11 months now into the pandemic, that program just hit a major milestone. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has more.
Food for Students has delivered more than 1 million meals to children in the community.
I think what that million mark means to all of us that have been at this is that we never gave up and we're not stopping.
That was Liz Cartano, the director of dining for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. She partners with transportation, local volunteers, the school district, and Chartwell's food management to continuously find ways to feed and support students in the area. Cartano said it's been a long road to reach this milestone of 1 million meals. Back in March, Food for Students initially only had 20 food distribution sites, serving meals 5 days a week. Soon after, to accommodate for the growing need, the program expanded to serving meals 7 days a week at 37 sites. Now, as of last week, Food for Students has grown to 48 distribution sites to better reach every facet of the community.
Our motto kind of was, we're going to be fluid, flexible, and friendly. And if I tell you that we have pivoted more times through this process, but at the end of the day, we really now have a program that we can use again and again and again to support the community. We really try to identify any place where we can find a child that may need a meal, and we figure out the best, most efficient way to get it to them.
Over the past 11 months of the pandemic, the need for meals has remained consistent. In order to keep up with the demand, Cartano said an abundance of community volunteers and support have made all the difference.
So as a community, I don't think you can operate a program like this without that support, but it has been life-changing for the children in this community.
As Food for Students looks to the future 1 million meals in, Cartano said she expects the program will continue to change, especially as local school districts adapt to new recommendations from the state government. This week, Governor Roy Cooper and state education leaders called on K-12 school districts across the state to allow in-person instruction for all students. Cartano said whether or not CHCCS returns to an in-person learning model, Food for Students' mission will remain the same.
And I can kind of tell you that no matter what the state decides, we will find a way to serve those kids no matter where they're located. And whether it may be serving meals in a new location, adapting our cafe operations to allow for physical distancing, we feel pretty prepared to safely serve students.
To celebrate this milestone of 1 million meals served, Food for Students will be holding a celebratory event at Smith Middle School on February 17th to say thank you to all the volunteers and employees that made this program a success.
So I think that it's a good opportunity to just let people know that we care, because they've cared so much.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Other school news, News and Observer reporting the State Board of Education voted narrowly yesterday to approve new standards for social studies education that include more discussions of the history of racism and discrimination in America. Those standards go into effect next school year. Also in Raleigh, since we're there, the General Assembly has approved a bill to distribute federal COVID relief funds, including $1.6 billion for K-12 schools. That goes to the governor now. The state Senate has also signed off on a bill that would require schools to give all students the option of in-person learning. That now goes to the House. Governor Roy Cooper yesterday unveiled an emergency budget plan to allocate more than $2 billion in additional federal funds on top of that first bill. He's also calling on lawmakers to pull $695 million from the state's $4 billion general fund. Among other things, Cooper's proposal includes $700 million for COVID testing and vaccination, $546 million for emergency rental assistance, and $468 million to cover one-time bonuses of $2,500 for K-12 teachers and principals, $1,500 for other K-12 staff, and $2,000 for UNC system staff and community college staff. All of this would require lawmakers' approval. Governor's proposal also includes some additional funds to expand broadband access in North Carolina. That's an issue affecting people in our community, too. And recently, Orange County commissioners created a new broadband task force to recommend a plan to expand reliable internet to all residents and businesses. County Commissioner Renee Price discussed that task force recently with 97.9 The Hill.
The broadband task force has been in the works for a while, and because the topic has been such a major topic and it's growing, it continues to grow the longer that we don't have broadband in some of the rural areas and even some of the more, you know, areas closer to the municipalities, you know, with the lack of broadband. We need it so desperately for school, for education, for some people work at home, so they need it for jobs and even economic development out in the county for farmers and telehealth. We really need broadband. So, you know, looking at ways that we can either be innovative or convincing, persuasive, whatever it takes to try to get people connected.
That's County Commissioner Renee Price speaking there. You can get the full conversation on our website, chapelboro.com. Hit the 97.9 The Hill tab up top and head to the News on the Hill page for that. And finally to Hillsboro, where a U.S. Army veteran recently received a new roof for his house, courtesy of HRH Roofing and Habitat for Humanity, as part of a nationwide effort to provide housing assistance for veterans. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach with more on that.
William Turin is a lifelong citizen of Orange County. He's an Army veteran who served as a parachutist from 1958 to 1962. Terrain has lived in his home in rural Hillsboro since 1973. He received a roof through Owens Corning Roof Deployment Project, a nationwide effort to show gratitude and honor the veterans who served the country and their families. Terrain is one of more than 225 military members who have received new roofs since the program started in 2016. Caitlin Capala is one member of the group who worked on Terrain's home.
He applied to our program, was connected through his daughter, and we saw it as a good opportunity because he's a veteran. In 2019, we started focusing more on veteran-specific projects and making sure we're serving that population in our community.
Because of the pandemic, they haven't been able to enter the homes, so they've been focusing on exterior renovations like new roofs. Ed Kuzinski is another person who worked on Terrain's home and explained the process.
We're replacing the entire roof. He has several leaks in the house, so they're going to strip all of the existing shingles off the roof down to the plywood on the roof.
HRH Roofing is an Owens Corning Platinum Roofing contractor, which is the company that organizes the roof deployment project. You can see photos of Terrain and his new roof on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukic.
It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Tar Heel women's basketball suffered its third straight loss last night, 61-51 at the hands of Florida State. Lowest scoring game of the season for the Tar Heels. They fell to 8-8 on the year. Janelle Bailey did have a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds, but she was one of only two Tar Heels who scored in double figures. Carolina's back in action Sunday at 2, hosting NC State. Carolina Hurricanes in hockey also suffered a loss last night, 6-4 at Chicago to snap a 5-game winning streak. Canes are also back in action Sunday at Columbus. Today, UNC women's tennis takes on number 9 Ohio State in the quarterfinals of the ITA National Indoor Championships. Carolina's the top seed, looking to defend the last year's title. In the last eight years, they've made the final 7 times and they've won this thing 4 times. So they've been a real successful in recent years. And of course, UNC men's basketball is in action tomorrow, taking on Duke at Cameron Indoor. This is a sort of historic game in the rivalry. First time since 1960 that they faced each other with neither team ranked in the top 25. Tip-off time, 6 p.m. We got it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 4:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off.